your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
So the 30th of August saw an announcement or a call from the Fair Work Project, a call on South African companies to pledge their support for fair labour practices in the gig economy. Fair Work South Africa released a report called the Fair Work Report and Gigging in South Africa. And the project has published its third round of yearly ratings for digital platforms in the countries. And of course, by rating them, we get a sense of how we stand as far as labor relations and practices in the country. But what the report also highlighted were challenges faced by gig workers and, of course, took into consideration the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the economy as well as gig workers. Helping us have this conversation and better understand the findings, the insights of this report is Louise Bezadenhout. Louise is a research officer for the Fair Work South Africa team based at UCT. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Louise. Really appreciate you taking the time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. I'm really pleased to be here.
Louise, could you give us a sense of, you know, the kind or the methodology that went into the research that you did regarding the Fair Work Report and gigging in South Africa? And, of course, how all of this fits into the Fair Work organization, the global organization at large, and how the methodologies speak to each other or resemble each other in each territory, or do they?
Sure, that's a great question. So the Fair Work organization uses a set of five principles to rate gig platforms. And these principles were developed through consultations with a range of different stakeholders. And they are fair pay, fair working conditions, fair contracts, fair management, and fair representation. So what we do is each principle can get awarded a maximum of 2 points. Mm-hmm. And we work with the platforms and do interviews with workers on the platforms to collect information about these different principles. So using the information provided by the platform, the information we gather from the workers on the platform, and doing a general review, we award a maximum of 10 points to each platform.
Mm-hmm.
So we use this methodology not only in South Africa, but in the 22 countries that Fair Work currently work. So it's a very well-tested methodology, and we're very pleased with the results we've been getting so far.
How many platforms take part or took part in, how many platforms or respondents to this survey, this research, and how forthcoming are various platforms when it comes to answering questions about their companies and workplace policies?
Mm-hmm. So Fair Work South Africa, we tend to try and rank the most prominent platforms in the different fields. So we don't necessarily rank every platform, but the ones that have enough visibility and enough capacity amongst workers. So in 2021, we did 11 platforms.
Okay.
We've had a really good response from the platforms. Because we're in our third year of ranking at the moment, the platforms that we have been ranking in 2021 tend to have been ones we ranked in previous years. And we've developed relationships with the platforms, and they've seen the value in participating in Fair Work and been quite open to some of the changes we've suggested based on our analysis of their current situation.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are the benefits for platforms, right? Because we know that initially with the advent of the gig economy, with various speakers and authors kind of selling it, to the public at large, saying, you know, this is an opportunity to become a sort of master of your own time, of your own career. You're in control. You decide when, where, how hard, how long you work. I think, you know, that bubble has certainly burst. And there are various criticisms of gig, especially platform-based work and the gig economy at large. And, you know, I'm just looking at a message here from Tamsanga in Kempton Park saying, I'm a gig worker. I deliver food for a living. I feel like these tech companies are labeling us as sole proprietors to avoid giving us employee benefits, right? So that's Tamsanga in Kempton Park. Just lay out the most prominent sort of criticisms or complaints when it comes to gig workers, and we'll go further, delve further into the relationship between platform owners and the people providing these services.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in South Africa, but also all across the world, one of the biggest complaints about gig platforms is their designation of workers as independent contractors instead of employees. And mm-hmm. by designating workers as independent contractors, it obviously excludes them from some of the national provisions for worker protection, such as unemployment, maternity leave, and so forth. So that is a big problem, and it's something that definitely is very prominent in the criticisms of the South African gig economy, but as I said, it's not unique to South Africa. I would say one of the other biggest concerns that we've seen from our interviews with workers has been issues around safety,
yeah.
Particularly in e-hailing and food delivery. There's a lot of risk that gig workers are assuming by driving into areas that are potentially not safe, operating valuable cars and motorbikes and so forth, and we've heard a lot of stories of hijackings and robbing, so that is very concerning. The response from the platforms has not necessarily addressed this in its entirety, but most platforms have made some sort of provision towards panic buttons or emergency responses, but obviously it's not enough to totally protect gig workers from these risks.
Of course, in South Africa, we are operating in a rather unique, well, not unique, but we've got our own set of pressures and stresses that make mm-hmm. our environment, and I think a challenging one, you'll correct me there, when it comes to, I guess, realizing the dream that was, or the ostensible utopia that was, you know, the potential of the gig economy and gig work, right? And part of this is, first of all, our high unemployment figures, our high unemployment numbers mean that desperate people will assume or agree to, as you said, those unfair contracts, those unfair working or management conditions, because, you know, 10% of something is better than 100% of nothing, mm-hmm. right? Desperation really makes you, it really does force you into untenable or difficult positions. So how do we overcome that or think about this Fair Work report in our specific context?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's a great question, and one of the reasons that Fair Work has launched our new pledge. What we really want to avoid seeing in the South African gig economy is a sort of race to the bottom where, in order to maximize profits and provide customers with lower cost services, platforms are increasingly, you know, cutting corners when it comes to worker conditions and worker safety. So the Fair Work pledge is a way of South African organizations and South Africans themselves to kind of step up and say, we want to make sure that the workers in the gig economy are being treated well. And the pledge is quite a lightweight statement to say that you agree with the Fair Work principles and you agree with supporting gig workers in the gig economy, and that you will try and use platforms that Fair Work has identified as having good working conditions.
Mm.
So if you have an option to choose between three e-hailing platforms, choose the one that we have rated as more concerned with worker conditions and worker safety. If you're using, say, a food delivery platform, try and use one that we've ranked as, you know, doing a good job when it comes to protecting their workers. So I think it's very exciting in South Africa that we're seeing an explosion in the number of platforms playing in different fields. And South Africans now have choices that can be made. It's not just, you know, one platform or nothing. There are options. So we're suggesting that look at the report, look into the different platforms, and, you know, the media has a lot of reports about gig work, and try and make informed decisions about which platforms you use.
Yeah. I like the Jedi mind trick that you've just dispatched by calling the Fair Work pledge a lightweight agreement. As in, come on, guys, you can do this.
You know, you have to start somewhere. And what the pledge we're trying to do is just raise awareness. You know, we're not expecting people to, you know, sign contracts saying that they will only do this or this, but just to get interested enough in the work of Fair Work and the plight of gig workers in South Africa and start reading around a bit more and trying to find out what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Could you give us a sense of how your work, your research, your reports might inform or touch on those in positions to create policy around this? I mean, as a layperson, as someone who just, you know, drives on South Africa's roads, you can see for yourself, or I can see, you know, the proliferation of people on scooters, not necessarily proficient in the rules of the road, in how to maneuver in traffic, and, you know, various food or other delivery form, delivery sort of signage on their bikes. And you just think to yourself, yikes, there's definitely some sort of uniformity and just a baseline standard that definitely needs to be created, right, when it comes to these specific delivery guys, or whether it's a matter of, you know, where and how they park when they're at malls, when they're outside various outlets and establishments. There's just some kind of uniformity that needs to be established to protect everyone, quite frankly, but also just to keep these guys safe. You wonder what, you know, training even looks like to get on that scooter and to drive, and all sorts of things. So, you know, how does your work inform or speak to policy? Are you at all engaged with those in positions to create this policy?
So that's a very interesting question. And I would say that Fair Work, we operate on two different levels in policy. The first, obviously, being our engagement with the platforms and their internal policies, and trying to improve the way platforms, you know, do their training or have oversight of their workers. So we're definitely very active in internal policy development. In terms of national policy, we do collaborate with a number of other centres, including UWC, which has a Centre for Workers' Law. Mm. And through that, trying to engage in conversations not only about the designation of workers as independent contractors, but also thinking through issues of liability, issues of worker protection. So there's definitely a lot of work going on there. We also engage with trade unions. We're very open to having conversations with trade unions to see if we can assist with them thinking through how to best represent the gig workers that are coming into their different areas of expertise. Yeah. So there's a lot of movement, and there's been a lot of interest. We're very pleased with the response generally in South Africa about how the research of Fair Work can inform the gig economy.
Mm. In terms of the companies themselves, you know, a lot of the kind of pushback and response to the designation of employees, we'll call them, as contract workers, was quite often that, well, our business model just, it's untenable. We couldn't possibly give them the kind of benefits that you want and remain in business. And yet we saw shareholder value growing exponentially, companies growing and scaling on a global level, right, and moving into new territories at a blistering pace. How are companies now starting to think of their business models, their mandate, their responsibility to shareholders versus their responsibility to their employees? Has the needle moved over time?
Well, actually, so Fair Work South Africa this year, in 2021, we saw a really unprecedented situation in which the top six platforms that we scored were South African-owned and South African-led. Mm. So this stands in quite severe contrast to most of the other countries we work in. And what we were seeing from the South African platforms is that a lot of them had a very strong social responsibility mission associated with them. So they weren't just platforms out to extract as much work and value from workers, but actually we're trying to give back. We're trying to brand themselves as engaged and responsive to the gig workers and the community at large. And I think it's quite an exciting thing to start thinking about from a South African perspective, that maybe these smaller platforms are going to actually be revolutionary and very disruptive, because they'll show another model for taking forward gig work in South Africa and also globally, thinking about different ways that they can actually engage with their gig workers and so forth.
Really incredible stuff, really exciting stuff. And of course, looking at just looking at a few of the graphs in the report, quite a few household names ranking pretty high in terms of scores out of 10 with the Fair Work South Africa gigging economy report. So all we have to do, as you set it up so casually, is, you know, take a look at the report, see who's doing well. And, you know, when we are deciding which platforms to utilize, let's compare them against others and make sure that as far as Fair Work and how they score in the Fair Work ratings, they are hitting these points of fair representation, fair pay, fair contracts, fair conditions and fair management. I mean, it sounds like a simple barometer, Louise. But when we talk fair pay and fair contracts in South Africa, what does that mean by your standards?
So we use fair pay. We have two points. The first point is minimum wage and the second point is living wage. And we calculate living wage at the moment at 41 rand an hour. What we do when we calculate pay is not only just calculate pay in a compensation for time on job, but also waiting time, costs of running costs such as petrol, airtime, and so forth, and then issues to do with insurance as well. So it's quite a complicated equation that we use to get to whether or not we're going to award points. But definitely fair pay is a problem in South Africa. I think when you consider particularly waiting times during COVID for the e-hailing sector, people were logged onto the apps for way longer than they were actually actively doing trips. And that really brought down the average earnings of Uber drivers or Bolt drivers. So we saw quite a big drop in awarding the pay points this year, but that was based mainly on issues to do with waiting rather than changes in the algorithms of the platforms.
Yeah, so that was entirely out of the drivers and the company's control. All right, interesting stuff. Well, thank you so much for helping us unpack your report, the Fair Work South Africa report. Really appreciate your time and your insights, Louise, and looking forward to a follow-up conversation as we keep on tracking and understanding, you know, just how the gig economy functions here in South Africa and if it's making good on its promises of giving people the flexibility of owning their own time, being their own bosses. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. And for all the listeners, if you want to find out more about Fair Work, please go to fair.work online and read about South Africa.